Dom DiMaggio has joined us and you this hour, and you can too. We got a line available to you. Let's kick it off in Dallas, where Mike is listening on his car tonight. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
And sir, it's an honor to talk to you. Bob Costas was on Nightline about a month ago with this Donald Fear guy and a baseball owner, and he basically ripped them both upside and down. And he said this, and I wanted to get your opinion of it. He said that the baseball strike has hurt baseball fans because baseball is a game of history. It's an elegant game that's not played against the clock, and it's the unbroken lineage of baseball and the little stats that are so meaningless in other sports that mean so much in baseball that make it important. And I wondered what you thought about that and what you would think of Bob Costas as a baseball commissioner.
Well, this is Dom DiMaggio answering part of your question. I don't know much about Bob Costas. I've been out of the game for many, many years, so I wouldn't know. I've met Bob a number of times, and I've seen him work. I wouldn't know how he would do as a commissioner. But as far as baseball losing some of the interest as far as the people are concerned, I can understand why that would happen. As a matter of fact, I have gone on record as saying that this game does not belong to the players. This game does not belong to the owners. They're just passing by. This game belongs to the American people, and the American people were disregarded in all of the conflict between owners and players as far as money was concerned, and it's a shame that money ruled baseball when it should never have done so.
Thank you very much for the call. Vito up in Buffalo, you're up next.
Hello, Ron Barr.
Go ahead, Vito.
How are you, Ron?
Good.
Good. Mr. DiMaggio, sir.
Yes, sir.
I lived across the street from Joseph McCarthy. As you know, he was the manager for the New York Yankees, and he really taught the world of the DiMaggio boys, and he always had high praise for you people. Let me ask you this. Recently, I was at the Hall of Fame induction, and Mr. Schmidt said that in regards to Pete Rose that he should be in the Hall of Fame. What do you think about that, sir?
Well, as far as Pete Rose's statistics are concerned, absolutely, he does belong. However, he committed a cardinal sin, and if he were to be allowed to come back to baseball, then you would have to go all the way back to Joe Jackson and all those players who were barred from baseball in the 1919-1920, and as far back as Thorpe, when he was not allowed to play professional baseball. Well, you'd have to open the gates to everybody.
But he paid his dues already, though, Mr. DiMaggio, sir, I think. You know, he paid his fine, and he went to jail. I think that, the commissioner, Bert Giamatti, should never really, banned him, I think that he should be reinstated, and I think the American people, feel the same way about that, sir.
Okay, Vito, thank you very much. What about the people that are in the Hall of Fame, though, that, didn't have the nicest of characters? They point certainly to Ty Cobb. I mean, if you're going to keep Pete out, do you have to go back in and maybe reinvestigate some of those other people?
Well, I suppose it's always questionable as to where they should have been. But as far as a guy like Cobb was concerned, I don't recall him doing anything that was detrimental to the game except play hard and at times play dirty. But he was not the only one. That's been prevalent for many, many years. But back then and even today, they take care of those people who play badly or play dirty today.
Okay, let's go to Bob in Richmond, Virginia. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, quite an honor to speak to you tonight. My question is, how would a player of the likes of Greg Maddux fared in your time? And I'll hang up and get an answer.
That's a good question. What about Greg Maddux, the pitcher for the Atlanta Braves? How would he have fared when you were playing baseball as a pitcher?
How can we compare? How can we really compare? I recall speaking to a bunch of young fellows recently, and we were talking about the difference between the old days and the young days, and one young fellow about 12 years old rose and said, "Mr. DiMaggio, what do you think you would hit today?" And I said, I think I might hit about 280 or 290. I said, you have to remember, I'm 77 years old.
That's great. Let's go from Richmond, Virginia, all the way out to the islands. Hilo, Hawaii. Go ahead. You're up next, Greg.
Hi, Mr. DiMaggio.
Yes, sir.
My name is Greg, and I think you probably had the greatest influence other than my father in my whole life.
Well, that sounds very nice.
When did you, what years did you play for the San Francisco Seals?
I broke in with the San Francisco Seals off the Sandlots in 1937.
And how played, long did you?
Played with the San Francisco Ball Club in 37, 38, and 39. My first year with the Red Sox was in 1940.
Well, I was there in 39. My father brought me down, and you threw a ball to me once. And I've been a Boston Red Sox fan ever since you moved up there, because I was a young, bespeckled kid at that time, and I thought you were the greatest thing that ever happened to my life.
Well,
and I went on to play football and baseball and basketball, and I was able to do it primarily because of you.
And I hope you did it with the help of glasses, did you?
Yes, I did.
That sounds great to me.
And, I want to thank you.
I'm
59 years old now, and you've made a big difference in my whole life.
And I hope it's for the better. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg, for the call. I don't think that athletes really realize how much they do touch people. Now, here was a young man that had glasses, and back at that time, I suppose there'd be a stigma attached if you wore glasses, if you were a youngster and that sort of thing, and yet here you touched someone's life.
Yeah, well, it has happened, and I do get an occasional letter in the mail stating that very fact, and it is, to me, one of the greatest satisfactions of my entire baseball career, the fact that I broke in with glasses and opened up the gates after I made a breakthrough with the Boston Red Sox in 40 and 41.
I got to share something with people. About three, maybe a little bit more than that, when Dom was with me on the show, he and his wife Emily invited me back to the New England area during the summer for Dana-Farber Hospital charity event, and I came back, and one of the greatest nights of my life of just being with nice people was the night after the dinner, in which we went back to Dom's beautiful home, and we sat around for a number of hours and just listening to some of the great ball players that were there just talking about the game. But one thing struck me, Dom, and I've always wanted to ask you the question since that very night. I looked around your home, and I did not see any memorabilia from your baseball career. All I saw was one little pair of, what were they, cleats that were gold-plated? What
yes. Yes, I have a bronzed shoe, one of the original shoes that I wore. A young fellow said, if you'll give me a shoe, I will do one for you. And then there's a baseball that had my entire career record on it, and it was shellacked, and it's still very easy to see. Well, the reason, I guess there are a few pieces put around, but I don't have a particular room to put all these memorabilia pieces in, so we kind of keep them away, and there's only one or two because they don't seem to fit in with the decor of the house.
I wondered what it was. I just thought to myself, here is a man that had a great career, a lot of memories, and you don't see pictures on the wall.
And I'm saying that in the presence of my wife who is sitting here.
Let's take you back to Dallas again. Carl, go right ahead. You're up next.
Yes, hello, Don. I remember
Hello.
You playing. I saw you play when I was living in Cleveland, Ohio, back in the 50s.
Oh, I loved it.
Yes, I was a young man. I just got out of Marine Corps in 53. And I remember sitting down the left field foul line there, and your brother Joe hit a long ball. It was just foul, and I caught the ball. And I remember giving it to Jackie Jensen. Remember Jackie Jensen?
Yes, I certainly do.
And he told me, wait right here, and I'll have Joe sign it for you. This was after the game. I'm still waiting for the autograph. I'm still waiting for my ball.
You mean Jackie Jensen took the ball and never returned it?
Never returned it.
Oh, that's not like Jackie. Jackie was a very, very fine person.
Whatever happened to Jackie Jensen?
He's passed on many, many years ago.
Is that right? I remember his wife was a great Olympic swimmer also.
Yeah, so Ann Olson, you're right.
Well, I'm sorry I never got that ball back because I would sure love to have an autograph of Joe. I'm not kidding you.
I'm sure you would.
Thank you, Carl, for the call. I appreciate it. Back when you played, the stadiums were also very interesting. I remember as a kid, I used to spend a little bit of time going to the old Senators Stadium in Washington, Griffith Stadium there. And I had a chance to see some of the old stadiums. I was very, very young at that time. But talk about some of your favorites, like Cleveland, I suppose. That was always very interesting.
I enjoyed playing in Cleveland. It was especially, we started in Cleveland at Old League Park, which had a very, very long left field. Right field was just as short as left field was long. Then we moved, I think, after 2 years into Municipal Stadium, which is down by the lake. Now I understand they've got a beautiful ballpark in the heart of
just
Cleveland.
Gorgeous, yeah.
But Municipal Stadium had plenty of room from center field into the right field area and the left field area. And it gave me plenty of room to roam, as against Fenway, which has confinement for a center fielder.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Yankee Stadium when Joe was playing and when you were playing with the Red Sox? Didn't it have how long was it to center field at that time?
Well, I think
about
it was
a day and
miles.
A half. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it was a long, long distance, and I just have to tell you that in center field there were two gravestones. And on occasion, guys like Charlie Keller, Tommy Henrick, or Joe would hit a ball that far out to those monuments out there. And I remember going by those monuments on two different occasions, only about 3 feet away from them. And I just held my breath as I was running. I didn't dare take my eye off the ball. I'm glad I'm here.
Also, Detroit. I like that stadium as well. You're very close to the action there.
That was a great hitter's ballpark, yes.
Also, how about Chicago? What do you remember most about Chicago?
Chicago was a kind of a tough stadium for me because the wind was always in the batter's face. It made it easier to play the outfield because we played very short. But when we had these big pitchers, Ted Lyons and some of those guys throwing these fastballs at you with the wind at their back, it made it very difficult.
Is there any one memory that you walked away from the game with, Dom?
Oh, yes, Ron. The 1946 World Series. If you're talking about an actual happening on the field, I told you earlier that my biggest satisfaction was making the breakthrough for young fellows who wore glasses. But the biggest and most, the happiest and the most disappointing incident on the baseball field both happened at one and the same time in the 1946 World Series. I hit a ball in the top half of the eighth inning with two out against Harry Brekeen to drive in the two tying runs. And then, because I tried to stretch the base hit into a triple, I pulled a muscle and had to leave the game. So that in the bottom of the eighth inning, I was not present when Enos Slaughter made his famous run around the bases. I venture to tell you that he would never have made that big run had I taken my place in center field.
Dom, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for your kindness to me over the years, and of course your lovely wife, Emily, too, who I've just really adored. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing your thoughts and memories about baseball in a nicer time with the fans around.
Our pleasure, Ron. I hope we don't wait as long the next time.
I promise you. Dom DiMaggio with us and you this hour. We're back on the other side as we continue with more of You and Sports Byline.